Turn with me to Galatians, the first chapter. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 24 this morning. First glance, there's not a whole lot there, you say. It's just a recounting of some stuff that Paul was doing in his introduction, but there's really more than that there. A lot more. There's one time a man walked into a little mom and pop grocery store and asked, "Do you sell salt?" The answer, the store owner, Pop, his name, he said, do we sell salt? Salt. Do we just look? And he showed the customer the walls and walls of salt. He had Morton salt. He had iodine salt. He had Epsom salt. He had all kinds of salts imaginable. And the customer goes, "Wow, you think that's something?" So he opens the back door, and he took him down to a back room that's filled with shelves and bins and cartons and barrels of salt. "Do we sell salt?" "Yeah." "Unbelievable. Well, you think that's something? I'll show you salt." I went to the basement, and it was five times as large as the previous room was, filled wall to wall, floor to ceiling, with every imaginable form and size and shape, even the 10-pound salt licks of the cow pasture. I mean, he just had every kind of salt you can imagine. "Incredible. You really do sell salt?" And the owner goes, "Well, not really. That's just the problem. We never sell salt." But that salesman comes by. He is a great salesman. You know, Jesus calls us his followers the salt of the earth. But salt that stays on the shelf does no good. And so, instead, Jesus wants us to be a preserving influence on this decaying world. And that's what salt does. It keeps things from decaying. It cures it. He wants us to make a difference in people's lives. He wants us to speak with authority so that people will listen and respond. Is that what you want in life? Do you want to be an influence on other people's lives? Do you want to be another person's salt? Do you want to be that person that they listen to, that you can influence? I find that desire for me is incredible, that's what I want. But the question is, how? How can we as God's people be a positive influence over the people around us? How can we gain a real hearing among the various voices for people's attention? And there are a lot of voices out there that people are listening to. Well, if you have your Bibles, look in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. And this is where the Apostle Paul defends his apostleship and gives reasons why we should listen to him. Let's look at verses 11 through 17. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after me. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past of Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I was persecuted, that I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Paul makes the point here in this passage that he did not get his ideas from any man. He got them directly from Jesus Christ. He got them from Jesus Christ in Arabia, of all places. Now that's significant, because Arabia is where Mount Sinai is, according to Galatians 4:25, and that's where Moses himself met with God to receive the Ten Commandments. Paul's saying, I got my message from God just as Moses did, and from the same place. Therefore, my words carry the same weight as 10 commandments themselves. So Paul met with Christ in Arabia. Look at verses 18 through 20. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Paul spent time with Christ before he spent with any other man. In fact, he spent 3 years with Christ alone in the Arabian desert before he even met the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, Peter, John, Matthew, the leaders in the church of Jerusalem, James. He went alone with Christ before he even spoke with these folks. And then he was only there for 15 days. Not enough time to learn a whole lot, if anything, from them, but just enough time to get acquainted. Then, Paul says in 21 and 22, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. The false teachers who had followed and dogged Paul's steps like to boast of their close association with the leaders of the church in Judea. They love to drop the names of important people. But Paul tells us that his close association with Christ himself. Paul's authority came from his connection to Christ himself, and Paul's right to be heard came because he knew Christ personally. He had learned from Christ. That, my friends, is where we gain the right to be heard. Now, I can spout off a bunch of preachers' names who a lot of y'all would know because they're rather old and they've been around a long time and they're supposedly wise. And they are. They're smart. I go to school and there are some very smart fellows there and I listen because I want to learn. But you know what? If I don't spend time alone with Christ to begin with, then all that doesn't matter because all I'm doing is regurgitating what they're saying and what their opinions are. What's important is what God is teaching me in my time alone with Him. We don't gain the right to be heard because we studied under great human teachers. And let me tell you something. If any of y'all go out there and say, well, Brother Randy said, if you do that, please don't. I don't want that. You don't need that. What you need to know is what the Bible says, what God says in His Word. That carries weight. Not what Brother Randy says. Trust me. You get to the right people and those will start laughing. They will. We don't gain the right to be heard because we have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, or you have that doctor at the Dr. Randy. They don't even sound right. May happen one day, but it don't even sound right. But just because you have the doctor or the master's degree does not mean you have the right to be heard. And people will listen. But if you want to gain that right, you need to spend time with the Master Himself, not His minions. You need to spend time with Him, Christ our Lord. And if you want true spiritual authority, you want someone to really listen, and you want to have a positive impact on those people, concerned about, you want to minister and witness to. You want to speak in a way, in such a way that people will listen, then you must commune with Christ. You must connect with Jesus. You must know Him personally. For one thing, you need to be a saved child of God. And then you need to develop a relationship, an ongoing relationship with Him. And along the way, He is teaching you. You're getting your thoughts and your ideas not from you or someone else, but you're getting them from Him. You see, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Isn't that surprising? His ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55:8 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, God says, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. What God has to say is a whole lot more important than what you or I have to say. My opinion, your opinion, is just one of the many opinions that is competing for the attention of people all over the world. And most of those folks don't see any opinion as any more valid any other opinion. That's the world we live in. Well, that's just your opinion. You know what? You know what? It's true. It's just my opinion. So we've got to stop giving opinions, and we've got to start giving God's Word. Mostly, it's just a bunch of noise to them. So if we're going to speak in such a way that people will listen, we just cannot declare our own opinion. We must speak the thoughts and the words of Christ. That means we have to know Him personally. We have to spend time with Him so that we can know His thoughts. Then and only then can we speak with any authority at all. It is much different, and I've been guilty of this, heard someone say something, and it sounded good and everything, so I just repeated it. Come to find out that they were just not right. When you go to God's Word, you find that it's just not right. We begin to accept men's opinions about things in this life. Jesus put it this way in John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. But if we remain connected to Him, and to His Word, He says we will bear much fruit. That is to say, we'll influence many people to follow. The secret to spiritual influence is abiding in Christ. If you're out and you're living a life that's so contrary to the principles and the principles of Christianity and what Christ has to say, you're not exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, and then all of a sudden you say, you know what? I'm going to ask this person if they know Jesus Christ, they're saved. Are they going to hell or heaven? They're going to look at you and your words are not going to have any effect at all. The secret is abiding in Christ. It's communing with Him. Now, that's not to say that you're going to spend, I'm going to spend 5 minutes in God's Word, and then magically and mystically, everyone's going to listen to me. Everybody's going to hear what I have to say. Everybody's going to respect my words. No, it doesn't work that way. But if I stay connected to Him, and I stay in His Word, and I have that relationship, guess what? I will bear much fruit. It may take 3, 4, 5 years or more, but if I stay connected, He's going to use me to influence others to follow Him as well. Paul spent 3 years in the Arabian desert with Jesus before he saw any fruit. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go to a desert and spend 3 years. I don't think that's necessary. 30 minutes a day in His presence and His Word, I think that's doable. I think that's reasonable. I think that's the least of our service to Him. 30 minutes a day. Listening, talking to Him. We must spend time with Christ if we're going to be heard. If we're going to be effective in winning friends and influencing people to Christ, we've got to know what God wants. We've got to know Him. And if you want true spiritual authority, if you want to have a positive impact on those around you, if you want to speak in such a way that people will listen, then you must commune with Christ on a regular basis. But you've also got to do something else. You've got to allow Christ to radically change you from the inside out. It's not just about your words. But you're going to have to show that God's changed you. You must demonstrate a transformed life. You must show the world that you're different if you want to make a difference. And that's what happened to Paul. Paul was a zealous prosecutor, persecutor of the church. He was a very religious man who's fed up. He was a sinner. He just wouldn't let it go. He would kill Christians wherever he found them. But then God got a hold of him. In verse 16, Paul says, God was pleased to reveal His Son in me. God was pleased to reveal His Son in me. And without Him, in order that I might preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He said, if they're going to listen to me at all, if they're going to hear what I have to say, they're going to have to see my life change. Well, they're not going to hear. It's only as God revealed Christ in Paul's life that Paul had any authority to speak. That's the reason why he opens up his letters lots of times, declaring His authority, telling His story, showing how God has changed His life so that He can declare that authority. I want you to listen to me. I didn't make this up. I got this from God Himself. So if you want to speak with any authority whatsoever in this society today, then you must speak with the authority of a changed life. You cannot continue to live your life as you did before you came to know Christ if you want people to believe that Christ has changed your life. I don't know, Terry, I know you've heard it a bunch too. Oh, I got God, me and God, we got this thing going, and I'm just as close to God, and they're just as messed up as you can possibly imagine. Their life is just as far, and I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe God changed their life because He would not change their life to that. But there's so many folks who want to believe. First, like Paul, we recognize we've been set apart, devoted to a special purpose. If you come to know Christ as Savior, you've got a purpose. That purpose is not to go on vacations. That purpose is not to have fun. That purpose is not to work yourself. That purpose is not, you go on the list. Whatever it is that you think is your real purpose as a Christian, it really isn't. Your purpose is to serve Christ and be a witness to Him. To win friends and influence people to the cause of Christ. That's the reason why we're here. So He set us apart for this purpose. In Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has set each and every believer for a purpose, a special purpose. He has prepared in advance good works for all of us to do. And there are no useless people in God's kingdom. If He saved you, He thought there's something for you. There's something for you to do. He's got a purpose. There are no useless people. Now I want you to let that thought grip your heart. How many times have you thought, well, I'm just useless? I have no special abilities. God can never use me. God has set you for a purpose, a special purpose, regardless of who you are. So we're here for a reason. Let me matter who you are, God handcrafted you for a purpose. So like Paul, you need to recognize what that purpose is. Then, like Paul, we need to recognize that God has called us by His grace. Romans 8:30 tells us that God has called every believer. That's our status in Christ. He set us apart, called us so that Christ could be revealed in us. You see, God wants our lives to demonstrate the character of Christ, not our character. And trust me, there is some character. Not our character, but He wants us to show Christ's character in us. So instead of... Keith Miller, in his book, about the Second Touch, he talks about a Christian businessman who is in a hurry to catch a train. And in his hurry, he bumped into a small boy with a puzzle in his hand, and his puzzle pieces scattered all over the sidewalk. So instead of rushing on, he stooped over and helped the little boy pick up the puzzle pieces while the train moved out of the station. And after he finished, the boy looked up into the man's face. He goes, "Mister, are you Jesus?" Oh, that people would mistake us for Jesus every day. I am glad that there are not names and church affiliations on our vehicles. I think we'd be very disappointed or ashamed. We need to exhibit Christ in our lives. That random act of kindness. And that can happen as we allow God to transform our lives. As He transforms our lives, the compassion and the character of Christ will shine through. Christ will be revealed in us so that we can preach among the Gentiles. So that we can speak the authority to change life. There are a lot of folks that I just don't know how to do this. I don't know the plan of salvation. The Roman road. Person is talking to you probably because they've seen something different in you than they have in the world. They're going to be listening to you because you've been transformed inside out, and they're wanting some of that. And you know all you've got to do is tell them. Tell them what Christ did for you. How God changed your life. That is your witness. And that's all God demands from us, is to be exhibit Him through our lives. It's not difficult. You don't have to memorize a whole bunch of scripture. It helps. But you don't have to. You just show Christ in your life. Say, "God, let me influence someone's life today." Verses 23-24. Galatians. First chapter. They have heard only that He which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which He had once He destroyed. They glorified God in me. Paul's changed life brought glory to God. And our changed life would do the same. People will praise God because of us if we allow Christ to change us from the inside out. Some of you may have known Lee Strobel. He's an author, pastor. He was a former atheist. He described how God changed him. He said, "My daughter Allison was 5 years old when I became a follower of Jesus, and all she had known in those 5 years was a dad who was profane and angry. I remember I came home one night and kicked a hole in the living room wall just out of anger with life. I was ashamed to think of the times Allison hid in her room to get away from me. 5 months after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, that little girl went to my wife and said, 'Mommy, I want God to do for me what He's done for Daddy at age 5. Don't tell me you're not going to be an influence by your changed life, that God changes you. You cannot even imagine whose life you may be influencing. At age 5, she gave her life to Christ. But Strobel says, God changed my family. He changed my world. He changed my eternity. And He can do that for us if we let Him. Just trust Christ with your life. The one who died for you and rose again. Then let Him use you to change your world, beginning with your own family. Listen, we all got messed up families, don't we? We've all got dysfunctional families. I've learned that. It's not just mine, it's y'all's too. And you're wondering, man, you probably got some lost folk in your families too. People that have nothing to do with Christ. And you wonder, well, and they do some terrible things. We got some. Well, what are we going to do? But yeah, these are terrible things. They're mean and hateful and they're all full of the world. And you just say, well, they just need Jesus. Well, yeah, they do. I wish they'd get it. You wonder, how? Well, the only thing that we can do is pray. And allow God, spend time with God. Allow Him to change us from the inside out. And let them know us. I guarantee you, fight back just the way they do, they fight. They'll never see Christ again. So change life. Time with Christ. You can influence people. They hate you first. Giving love, kindness back. Response to hate. God sees the world. Best. We show the words. Do you want to be positive influence for God in this world? Or do you just want to live your life and not care about anyone else? You just want to sort of wagons and take care of your own business? Do you want to speak with such authority that people listen? That when E.F. Hutton talks, you know the old everybody's listening? Do you want to be that kind of person to where when you talk and you give some biblical reasoning from God's Word, that they're going to listen? Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. Do you want to then commune with Christ on a regular basis and allow Him to change you from the inside out? Allow Him to change you. In fact, as we close this service this morning, let's make this our prayer. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. I got so many folks right now that I'm dealing with that I just want to lash out. And I want to tell them all because they make some really stupid mistakes. Life changing. Hurting other people. Yeah, you probably got some of those folks in your life too. Can't do that. That's not the way to influence people. That's not the way to gain respect to where you're being hurt. What does God tell us to do? Show Him through our lives. And then you got to figure out what God would do. What God wants us to do. And then you get selected, you got to go to God's Word. And when you go to God's Word, then you can say, change me, oh God, because I want to be that person. I want to do some good instead of just making myself feel good by lashing out. I want to change people's lives. I want to be the influence on their lives, the good influence. I want them to listen to me. That's the way to do it. Change my heart. A lot of them listened to Paul because of who he was, who he studied with, God. Because his life was totally changed from the inside. And his life showed. It's an example, I believe, that we can use in our lives today. It's a life and my words and God's word be true. And I hope my life has changed that you see God through my life enough to listen. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, then I'm not going to tell you. I'm begging you, without Him, you're lost. You're dying. You'll never gain eternity. Yeah. Only through Him. So if you've never made that decision to be a believer, to follow Him, to trust Him, ask Him into your life, into your heart. Listen to me, I beg you. But you need to do that today. And I believe in God's word that when His word is proclaimed, that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and make a decision. And I believe there will be those here today that will need to make that decision. To reject Him or to accept Him, that's really the only decision you got. And if you decide not to make a decision today, you reject Him. So, I'm asking you to believe and trust to start that relationship with Him today. Saved children of God, which I believe most of you have claimed to be, it is time for us to spend time with Him, to commune with Him. It is time for us to allow Him to change us from the inside out, to show a lost and dying world what it truly means to be a child of God. God's going to speak to our hearts. Maybe He already speaking to them. Whatever it is He wants for your life right now, I pray you'll follow Him and reject Him. So as we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I do not know your heart. I wonder at times if I know mine. But God knows. He knows my heart. He knows my life. And He knows that I need to be showing more of Him through me. He knows that. I know that. So what do I got to do? Spend more time with Him. More time in His Word. Then I'm going to have to, when His Word challenges me about something in my life, I got to allow Him to change it. Would you allow Him to change your life? If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're bound for the devil's hell. That's just a fact. So you need the truth. So would you come to know Him today as we sing?
Number 543. 543.